Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Dr. Paula Price, welcome to your show.
Yes, I decided to pop in today. How are you doing this morning, Ashley?
Well, wonderful. I always appreciate it when you pop in for your show, especially
it'd be nice.
When I don't have a backup plan for you not being here.
Well, you know what? If I ever do that to you, consider yourself booted out of the nest and thrown into the deep side of the pool.
Help me, God. Help me, God.
you know, I'm going. You know, I probably do that after being together. You never know when I'm going to throw you out of the nest there and tell you, you know, like a little bird, come on, fly, baby. Come on, flap your wings. Come on, fly, sweetie, fly.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, we had a great time together, great show. I guess I'm going to have to fall into show because I can't seem to find another word. I really want you all to continue to send me some of your suggestions, put them in my Facebook, and put them in my email, or I think they gave us a link or something. Would love to hear from you. And I want to tell you, again, I say to you every week, I know that we are faceless friends for the most part, and I certainly don't know each and every one of you on the line. We're excited because, you know, in our little short 2 months that we've been doing this on Blog Talk, we've gone over 7,000. So that's not bad for just a 2 month whatever. We're trying to, I want to reach the body of Christ with the wisdom of God, you know. I noticed that that's, you know, actually, that's the thing that we tend to lack. And I kept saying, well, Lord, what is it that we do or what is it that we don't do? And I realized, you know, we have had the word. And I think I've discussed this before, but I want to come from another direction today. We've had the word, you know, you can go anywhere. You got word on the scriptures. People have them on their shirts. They have them on their back. They have them on the legs, carved in the head. You know, they got scriptures in every store. You can find a piece of scripture here or there. But, you know, most people don't know what it means. They know what it feels like to them. And a lot of times our knowledge and understanding of the scriptures is based on our feeling about it or how we felt when we learned that word. You know, I had just lost my so-and-so, and God gave me that scripture. And so as far as we're concerned, that's the only way we're going to use that scripture. We don't really know how we want to use the word of God. And because we're so, you know, thank the Lord for, you know, the last move of God, you know, the word movement where you had to learn the word, I'm all for that. But when, you know, I say it almost every week, so you're going to probably know that this is going to be my own stuck place. Wisdom is the principal thing. And we were talking a little bit about, a little bit before the show, and I heard something, and I thought, you know, we don't bring our best when it comes to the word of God. We don't bring our A game. We bring our passion. And if we do bring our A game, it's called anointing. But that's it. We don't bring the wisdom, the knowledge, the righteousness. We learn scripture in a vacuum. In other words, we know what it means to us. We don't know how it is. We just assume that as far as the church goes, the word of God is in the church and nobody else is using it, and yet it's being used everywhere. It's being used everywhere because it's being perverted. It's being distorted. But how do we handle that? Well, particularly as apostles and prophets, I've always said, and I'm going to say it again, and if you're an apostle or prophet, I want you to remember two scriptures. Actually three. I want to give you three scriptures, and I'm going to give them to you because I don't care what day of the week it is, what sermon. These are the three that represent our duty. The first one, of course, I've used 100 times, Luke 24:44, how the Lord Jesus himself canonized the scripture. I want to add to that Acts 24:14, about the law of the apostles and the law and the prophets. Very important. And anybody who's a prophet has got to understand and take to heart Acts 26:18. Those are three passages that will define who we are and explain the uniqueness of what God wants to do in this hour. And the thing that gets them all is wrapped up in the sandwich. If I was going to put a little sandwich spread on me, I would have to say Luke 11:49-51, particularly 51, because we have got to get back in the game. Everybody is playing with our ball but us. We are romancing our ball. We're dipping it in gold. We're putting it on a pedestal and all of that. But we're not taking our own particular resource, our own charge, and honing our skills. We need to be sharp today, folks. We need to be according to what Now, Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:12, we need to be sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? Because if we're going to represent Jesus Christ, we ought to know him. We need to be incisive and insightful, and not just in a logical way, but also in a discerning way, and then in a ministerial way, and then in a delivery way. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And for most of us, we quote it and we call that sharpness. But if we can't rightly divide it, we've got a problem. And so I cannot tell you how many times we sit down and listen to preachers who say stuff that they just read in somebody's book. We love picking it out of a context because for some reason the Bible, reading the Bible's words in its own world is a little bit frustrating. So I would like to encourage you. Paul did something I'd like to share with you because I thought this is an amazing passage of scripture where it talks about, you know, Paul, he had a job. You know, he knew he had a job to do. But he knew his job was to make them understand his sender, Jesus Christ. He had to make the people really get it and to learn this man. And I love the way he did this. In Acts 24:25, one of my favorite passages, because it's not just about the word of salvation, the word of life, the word of deliverance. The word has a particular object on 101 different ways. I went through the study of it. I was amazed at how much God wants to do with his word because it's everything. But in Acts 24:25, it said, and he, being Paul, reasoned of righteousness or reasoned about the righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. And Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call you. And so, unfortunately, the NET uses, you know, while Paul was discussing righteousness, self-control, and coming judgment, Felix became frightened and said, go that way. But when you look up, and if all of you all who join me, who are my Bible researchers and teachers and all of that, look up the word reason, because you see, in order for Paul to do that, not with the guy next door, we're excited because we can sit in a restaurant and have, you know, sword fights with our church members and our pew members, or we can take and club somebody with our favorite passages. But Paul was sent in front of a high authority. We keep saying people are going to go here, we prophesy, you're going to speak to kings. And what are you going to say to a king? We're going to speak to rulers of nations. What are you going to say to the ruler of a nation? I think most of us don't even have their depth of knowledge or understanding. But Paul was able to go to this man and challenge him to the point that he was nervous. He was nervous. Now, in order for Paul's words to make him nervous, guess what he had to do? He had to have known what Paul was talking about himself. And the problem is we assume that everybody we go to discuss the word with has no knowledge of it, and that isn't true. In order for Felix to tremble, there had to be a common theme, something religious, something spiritual, something, you know, didactic or eschatological, whatever we want to call it. It shook this leader, and it made him have to think, because we answered not with the words on paper, not with quoting scripture like a Paul Parrott. You know, we do that so well. We think we know it. It blows my mind that people who just quote scripture, but I know the word. What does that mean? I know what it means to me. It's not about what it means to you. It's about what it meant to the man who wrote it. Because it's what it means to the man who wrote the scripture. And being an author, I know what that's like. It's what it means to the author that matters, because it's whether or not you are accomplishing the author's purpose, particularly when it's not a recreational writing or entertainment writing. So Felix was nervous. He got rocked by what Paul said when Paul reasoned with him. And he felt not just unsettled, but he felt pricked at the heart, because Paul gave him information that he had to do something with and not just listen and dismiss. We are easily dismissed because we don't say anything that's impactful to those who have to get the jobs done that we don't do. You know, when we want to talk ministering to these people, as recently our whole thing here in Oklahoma, you know, there's a lot of comfort to be given and there's a lot of consolation to be given. But you know what? We need to know whether or not we're just pulling up what made us feel good, or if we're really allowing the Lord to use us to impart wisdom and comfort and consolation to another. You're talking about going to a leader. You need to know that leader's job. You need to know that leader's sphere. You need to know that leader's responsibilities. Man, we want to go and prophesy all of this insane stuff. We don't even know what these people have to do. We have never even taken a moment to say, what does a so-and-so do? And then find out how Jesus works through that, because we keep thinking we're only representing Jesus in the Bible. And we're just representing Jesus in church on Sunday. But you can't call this man King of Kings and Lord of Lords and yet be unable to represent him except in a sermon, except in a preaching, a prophecy, or revelation. Because God says, again, my favorite passage, for wisdom is the principal thing. And that word prison means chief or the head of all things. And I would encourage you this week, until we get back together next week, to read Proverbs 8 and 9. And don't just read it and say, oh, I know. You know, we do that. Oh, I know. Oh, I've been reading that since I was a kid. But now read it as an adult. Well, I've been reading that since I was in seminary school. Read it now as a representative of the king. Read it with the king's representative's mindset and objectives. Why did he write that? One of the two of the most beautiful passages in Scripture, chapters in Scripture regarding God's mind are found in Proverbs 8 and 9. So that's my exhortation for today. How'd I do, Ashley? Do you think I did all right for a Thursday morning where it's overcast?
Well, yes. I feel exhorted, challenged. Definitely. You're definitely hitting the nail on the head there with how so many Christians lose arguments, perspectives, and really opportunities for the Lord, because all they can do, maybe, is rattle off some key scriptures, and because they don't have the mind of God and the mind of Christ concerning his word, they really cannot be persuasive or challenging.
And you know what? And it's interesting. Remember, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago we were in a think tank, and there was a role play, and we were role playing a law that was being discussed, and we had two groups, you know, because it was a prophetic session, and we had two groups, and then remember we had the panel. I was on the panel, and even though the group that represented God was zealous and informative, and if I were a biased leader, I would have said, hey, your argument wins. They did not present their case persuasively enough, and that was the best experience I ever had, because I had the opportunity to see how even we, who are Christians, cannot vote with crazy. Even though it's true, we cannot do assumptions. We can't be presumptuous. And I remember that was a very impactful moment, because having to deliberate on what side was going to win, I had to deliberate on the enemy side, because the enemy made a better argument that could be documented. And we don't do well with that. You know, I thought about that when we were talking this morning, talking about, well, we don't even think that there's an A game to bring for Jesus Christ. But the basketball player should have it. The sports enthusiast should have it. Politicians, doctor, philosopher, educator, all of them should have it, but not us. And my prayer for the body of Christ, especially with the apostles and prophets today, that we would up our game, know what we're talking about, and hone our skills, and be accurate enough to bring home some real wins for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what I'm excited about. So when you brought that up, that's what I remembered. I remembered that whole session. I thought, oh, my gosh, how often do we lose? How often do we lose in course because we don't do our homework, or we underestimated the enemy because we really thought we had the commodity on the word of God, and he didn't know it. You know, it's going to be we're coming into some challenging times, saints, which is why God is raising up apostles and prophets, because he wants us to be the group that has always won for him. And let's start doing it again. So, Ashley, do I have any calls?
You do. But let me add this one 30-second thought. I think the saddest part about that day, I remember that day, was that the team that actually won did not do the assignment correctly. But because their argument was so tight, they still beat the Christian team, in quotes, because their argument was tight, their facts were in order, they pulled all kinds of sources and did whatever. And at the end of all of that, after we had to rule in their favor, it was still noted, but this actually wasn't the right thing you brought.
Exactly. But it's funny how they backed into the question and got it correct. Now, how is that happening? You know?
We don't even know.
But it wasn't, that was an experience. You know, we love having those exercises. As a matter of fact, the reason we brought that up also is because my forum is coming. And that's some of the things that we do at our forum. We don't just preach at you. It's not a preach-a-thon. We don't just come in and parade in front of you a string of preachers who are giving you conflicting thoughts and conflicting ideas on Christ and the subject matter. I don't bring in a trainer or teacher who has their own point of view. This is a learning working event. So they do their research and they bring in the information that causes us to complement each other. If I will tell you the most dangerous thing I think and the most detrimental thing that we've ever done in our events is to have a bunch of conflicting preachers. We've got this one person saying, they said, this is what God told me. This other one, well, I know brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so said God told her that, but that's not what he told me. And then we've got the other one, well, actually, God just took it a whole other direction for me, and on and on and on. Well, actually, God told me that none of that was it and that he would get ready to wipe all of that out. If you are going to have a conference, and I have a lot of people who listen to me who do conferences, stop bringing in conflicting speakers. Bring in, if you have a common thread, then bring in the teachers and preachers that will keep that thread. You don't need independent arguments like that, because even though it makes for good show and it sounds very interesting to us in the back room, to the people who are sitting out there who came for our information, they walk away confused. They still don't know what to think. So in our forum, we bring in people who share the same objectives. Now, we may have you may think differently on another point, but on this particular thing, this particular objective, we have speakers who do that and trainers who do it. You're in sessions, and not just staying up, you are being trained. We have working assignments. This is something you walk away equipped to do something. A lot of times we say you're equipped and you've just been informed or entertained, but I'm talking about you walking away with tools to do something. So we're going to have a commercial about the forum later on today in our show. And then I have a friend, one of the apostles who's been with me for years doing these forums and my annual summit. He's going to join us a little bit later, and we're going to chat a little bit, and hopefully you get a sense of someone else who has been part of the experience. But I want to say to all of you all, somebody here, this is a prophetic word for you. Recheck your conference lineup, because you may not be accomplishing what you set out to do. And when they're standing up there with the mic and you are sitting down on the floor, that's a little late to realize this was a mistake. This is not going to get you where you want to go. That's just a piece of free advice. Okay, now, Ashley, do you have another 30 seconds or what?
Yes, you know what? This time I will let somebody through.
It would be nice if I talked to some of my friends this morning.
Yes. Okay, we have on the line right now Bernard from Georgia. He was very excited. He got through today. He said, I've been calling, but he was number one on the line. And so he's calling today because he's actually going through a lot of changes right now. Things are falling apart in his business, and it's not looking good for him. And so he's calling for some prayer today. Bernard, welcome to the Paula Price Show. You're on the line live with Dr. Price.
How you doing, Ms. Price?
I am fine. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm trying to hold on. I'm just trying to hold on.
Wow. And where are you calling from again?
I'm Georgia.
Georgia, okay. And so you are having... Huh?
You talked to me before, quite a while back. Yes, ma'am, when we was having a cookout and everything, a grill cookout.
And my wife.
Yeah.
I didn't get my invitation there. I remember now. You know? I didn't get my grill stuff. What happened with that? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you called back.
Yes, ma'am. It's just I've been going through a lot of changes and everything, and my business is like falling apart. But first of all, the main problem with me was me and my wife, we are no longer together. We divorced and everything, and we've been trying to get back together. And I told a few lies to her and everything. I really broke her heart. And it wasn't intentionally. It just, it's something that happened, you know, is what I did wrong. But I love her. That's one thing. I really, truly love her real deep, you know, but we was trying to get back together. And also, she's my business partner and everything, and she's always been there for me. And, you know, during the marriage, we had a lot of moments in the marriage. It was kind of up and down and everything, and, you know, she would give 100%, and I don't know what the problem was, but for me, I just couldn't. Nothing wasn't going right for me. Jobs, everything I touched just fall apart, just like the business I'm doing now. I think the only thing never fell apart was when it came to kids and playing basketball. That's the only thing never fell apart. But my goal was always, you know, I'm a man of all trades. I do anything with my hands. I feel I was blessed with my hands, and I used that to my knowledge. And the thing is, you know, I have an auto detail place that I was blessed with. You know, I was having a problem to get in the place and everything, and a gentleman let me come in and working in and everything, and just, you know, I haven't been getting the business like I thought I would, and she had came in and helped me out a lot and everything, and, you know, one thing led to another, and it just things just started to just crumble all of a sudden, and that has been going on for a long time, even when I was married to her and everything. You know,
now, were you unfaithful to your wife?
No, ma'am. I was talking to somebody else on the telephone. Yeah. That's what I was doing.
I knew you.
And
I said, you know, I love it when y'all think I'm not gonna get that, because see, I'm telling you that you, let me tell you something. Even though you don't have what they call the physical infidelity, you know, even in terms of a trust, it's a hard thing. So I'm telling you now. So now you said we were trying to get reunite, and then you said something. What stopped that reunion?
Well, because I lied to her. I was on the phone. I had lied to her before about the same situation, talking to people on the phone and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it just what it is. You know, I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, I left it alone, and I did. You know, and then I turned around and I did it again, and I left it alone for a while, then I went right back to it, and then did it again. This is the last time I did it, and it really, really, you know, it bothers me a whole lot to what I did. But, you know, we was divorced. You see what I'm saying? And by being divorced,
yeah, but you were divorced trying to reunite. You were divorced trying to reunite. And here's what you told her. You told her, sir, that when you come back, it's going to be more of the same. That's what you told her. That's what the whole thing was. So let me just tell you where this is going to go with you and God. Before you even talked, I wish you could see my paper, because I write notes for all that I discuss just to keep the facts straight. And so, but I looked at him before you said it. I heard your voice, and you said, I'm having problems with my business. And the first thing I wrote was partnership. And I knew that the issue had to do with your partnership, and that there had to be a break in the alliance. So I'm going to tell you right now where you are. A couple of things. First of all, you're extremely depressed because you didn't think this was going to go this far. And it's funny, when you habitually hurt someone, you really think, you know, it's kind of like a Samson and Delilah moment. Oh, I'll get it back. I'll get it back. I'll win it back. She'll be all right, because people have forgiven you. But I'm going to tell you something about this thing. Two things when you are trying to succeed in life, two things you never want to give a foothold, and that is mistrust and ill will. Both of those two things, mistrust and ill will. Now, I can go the whole religious route and talk to you about morality and whatnot, but let's talk practical. You called about a practical issue, which is your business. So we're going to talk about it in a practical context. Two things, mistrust and ill will. Now, you already know morally and all of those kinds of things. You already know about that. But you had a partner on two fronts. So if a threefold cord is hard to break, and on two of those fronts, your marriage, that was your partner, your business, that was your partner, and then we have the third cord, which is friendship, that was a partner, and it was all knotted together with you sharing your load and her pulling more of the load, you do realize that you're going to have to start your life again.
Yeah.
Because there's no ill will. You don't have the time it takes to clean up the ill will that's gone out like that. You have to start your life again. I'm not going to be one of those people to tell you, yay, God will do it, because then, frankly, God will do it. And we give people that kind of counsel, sir, and then what happens, we give them that counsel, and God does it 10 years, 5 years, because we don't realize what it takes for the Holy Ghost to build a success infrastructure around our lives. All of those things that you talked about, fidelity, honesty, integrity, and also diligence. You know, because in your heart, something happened to you. I want to help you, because you're going to win in life. I want you to remember that. And if you have a pen next to you, write it down. Dr. Paula Price says, I'm going to win in life. I want you to hear that, because it's extremely important that you know that that is the end goal of what I'm about to say. Okay? You will win in life. You're going to win. this thing goes back to just a childhood thing for you, playful. You're a very bright man, very charismatic. You, things would happen for you just because. And even if you had a difficult, it didn't matter. You are the guy that would just land on top. You have that gambler spirit because you were meant to be an entrepreneur. You were called to be an entrepreneur, and you have it. But what you did not get was the mentorship and the training and the development that you need to have the right mindset. Remember I said, not mindset, not heart. You know, your heart was there, but the mindset of a winner. See, just because people win all the time doesn't mean they know why they won. And if you don't know why you win, you can't maintain your high place. Ultimately, your instincts and your talents are going to have to give place to your intelligence so that you can repeat your successes and repeat the steps that assured it over and over again, which is what it was. So for you, you won by being yourself. So every time you got into something, you still brought yourself in and not the improved version, the version that it took to hold on to that success. Do you understand? Because you were
yes,
natural.
Ma'am.
If you win naturally, you don't ever think that you need any more than your natural self to conquer. And that's not necessarily the case. And in your case, you always have a winsome personality. You know, you like the game. And obviously you were in a field that didn't give you enough of a game because you love the game. And I know a lot of pastors probably wouldn't say that, a lot of leaders, but it's in us. You know, when you look at the wild kingdom and stuff, our God likes the game. But he knows how to play to win and keep his successes. So a couple of things you're going to have to do. Number one, I'm going to pray for you to get an effective mentor. Somebody that is not only going to be good for you, but somebody who's going to call you on your stuff. Because you need that. You need somebody to pull your chain when this spirit comes up in you again. Because this is something that's repetitive in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. I have a teaching, a class that I give. I don't know when it's going to come up. I guess maybe actually talk about it later. But I call it the soul of success. I want you to understand that your talents, your natural talents and instincts will bring you into the dominion of success. But your soul will take you out. Because if you don't have the soul for success, success will corrupt you, because the thing that holds the foundation of your life is not built to take the weight of the responsibilities that go along with being successful. And that's what happened to you. The pressures came on you, and you looked for an escape. Where'd you escape? You escaped where you always went, where you always played. You played with the ladies. You played with the conversation. You played with the, you know, the guys. You look for that because to you, that's what gave you your release. Maybe if you had a good softball team or soccer team or something that you were on, might have been different. I don't think so, because when you know, many people do that, and unfortunately more men than women, when you hit that place of pressure, when you walked into that gate of success and you're looking around and all of the things are falling on you, you realize your soul can't hold this thing. And because it can't, it looks for escapes. And that's the part that I like. In all of the trainings that I do, the one thing I love to do is to train the soul to sustain success. Because you are a clear victim of what I'm saying. So the first thing I want you to do is I'm praying for you to get the right mentor, a man who's going to call you on your stuff and know when this thing is trying to sabotage you. Because when you get into the peak of your success, it's the saboteurs of your soul that come up. Because that's what's being tried. You know, it's easy to be tried when you're poor. You don't have anything to lose, so you'll give it all because, well, all is nothing. But when you have made the success, now your soul is tested, and it goes through the stress test, the demands, the money, the you know, public relations, keeping accounts and increasing business and retaining. All of those things all come under the stress test of success, and success is going to test you on every side. So God wants you to do that. The next thing is I pray that God will get you some sort of a training program, not where you can train your skills. That's going to happen, and sometimes it happens by default, but that you train your soul. Whatever it is that told you were nothing unless you were playing this game or unless you were seducing some woman, we're going to have to pray that off. And today I'm going to give you deliverance from that, because you are a man that's destined to succeed. And not only are you destined to succeed, I hear the Holy Ghost say you are a man that's going to train other young men to do this very thing. And to not to do what you do professionally, but to beat this saboteur. This is a saboteur of your soul. And success always happens. They will always stalk you. And the more you get, the more they intensify their forces and their assault. Because Satan does not give up his goods without a fight. He He is not going to let you walk into his riches, his success, his holdings, and say, aha, I got this brand new man of God. I cannot wait to put him on the team. Yeah, he won't put you on the team, but he's going to do it to convert you. So I'm going to say this to you. You are marked for success. God is going to bring your life back online. It may be a little bit before you can win the trust of your ex-wife again, and I'm not going to speak into that because that's not really the issue. Right now, the issue is making yourself a man who likes being who you are and a man who holds on and keeps that which God has entrusted to him. And a marriage is an entrustment. A business is an entrustment, a partnership, a friendship. So that's the number one thing. And then I'm going to pray off of this depression on you because if I don't pray this off of you, you're not going to try again, and God needs you to get back in again.
That's right.
So I'm going to pray this off you because that is not what God wants from you. And then the last thing I'm going to pray for is that you're getting a good church where these people are winning and talk about winning, but they know the steps to not only succeeding but maintaining. We do so much success teaching, we don't teach people how to keep it. That's why many of these coaching firms are popping up. Wait a minute, because we know that when you get what you're praying for, you're going to get a whole lot with it. A great door has been opened to me and many adversaries. That's real. That's the saboteurs of your success. So I'm going to pray for you to get into a church in that area that's going to enable you to join in a group, a professional group, that's going to give you the mind to keep what you get because you're going to get it. I can say I keep repeating it because I'm speaking to that depression in your soul. This is going to turn around. It's not going to be everything that you're praying today. That is not going to happen, but it's going to be better than it was. Is that fair enough?
Yes, ma'am. Sounds good.
I'm not gonna. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
I'm not gonna mislead you with happy time gospel. I don't do that. I'm telling you that you know life has consequences, actions have reactions, and decisions have you know repercussions. So you're gonna have some things. This is gonna be a thing for you, but I don't want you to sink down into this because God. It seems like a judgment on you, but it isn't. This is chastisement. God is correcting you because the bigger thing he has for you cannot be risked. And so God is waging war with your soul saboteurs so that the bigger thing that he has for you will not slip through your fingers.
Okay.
That's what this is all about. So, I'm sorry?
Because one thing about me, Dr. Price, is if I start something, I never give up. I just keep fighting and keep fighting and keep fighting. And, I mean, I understand that, you know, what I did to my wife and everything and all that. But she know how I am. And basically she's always been there for 7 years, you know, with me and seen people get over on me. Just like, you know, I'm trying to do this contract Saturday. And last Saturday I was trying to do it, but it rained. And this guy renting the truck for me and everything, and he ended up taking the truck, and I supposed to do this contract. And then I lost my money into it because I gave him the money to do this, get the truck, and then it was because it was in his name, he took it. And then he came back to me, you know, explaining to me what he done wrong, he was wrong, and all that, and that kind of bothered me. But I didn't get mad. You know, I didn't get, you know, I didn't go off on him because it was $100, but it was just the principle behind it, you know. And like I was telling my ex-wife, like, you know, hey, you know, I didn't get mad. You know, I didn't blow up, you know. And this guy was so scared of me because I didn't blow up. And that kind of puzzled me. And now he told me that he's going to bring me my money to me between the day or tomorrow. What, you know, in the back of my mind, I know he's going to bring it. In my heart, he said he's going to bring it. And I hope he bring it today because I've really, this contract mean a lot to me. Okay, and he knows it means a lot to me. And, you know,
I'm going to pray.
All right.
I don't want you to fail because, right. I mean, I'd love to talk with you a little longer, but I don't want you to fail. I'm going to pray for your contract. But I'm telling you, this recovery is not going to go as fast as you think it's going to go. There are times that we can get into God and God will just gloss over. But then there'll come a time when God said, okay, so I need to teach you some things. I need you to get it. And there are times that he will purposely slow our momentum so that we can get his wisdom. For you,
yes.
God's going to visit you. I'm telling you, you and God are going to have a real visitation. And he's going to put it in your mind because, you, just like you said, your wife was faithful, but you rewarded her faithfulness with unfaithfulness. That's a soul issue. You realize that?
Right.
you know.
Okay.
And your wife was attentive, but you rewarded her attentiveness with indifference. And so
right.
that's a soul issue. So God's got to deal with these things, because whether it's this contract, this one, okay, that'll work out fine. But you need more than this. And if God wants to use you in bigger things, he's got to enlarge your soul with his righteousness. And that's something
okay.
that the body of Christ is not clear on. Because if not, you are going to repeat it, and it's going to be a bigger loss and a bigger loss
okay.
and a bigger loss. Because the same you is going through every recovery. It's the same you. If we don't change the you, the results are not going to change.
Right.
You are the common denominator in all of this, and you have done a great job with step one. Okay, it's my fault I did it, but see, we don't need to be cheeky, Lord. I'm sorry. We need to say, God, I need an overhaul. Because if you keep doing something, apologies are not going to work. You're going to have to overhaul
yeah.
yourself, and so God wants
yeah.
to give you this overhaul. So Father, I thank you for this wonderful man, God. I thank you for Bernard. I thank you for his faithfulness to you, and Lord, it leads to reach out to you. God, I'm asking God that you begin to work in his soul. God, show him what you see. Let him see what you see. Let him hear what you hear, and let him understand it with your heart. Because God, we cannot come to the repentance that causes us to change until we realize the full magnitude and the full import of what we do. So I'm asking that you would visit him. Now, Lord, he needs this contract, so this is what I'm asking for in the name of mercy. Lord, we're not saying it's a right. We're not even saying it's a dessert or not. We're saying, God, in the name of mercy, give him this contract because you are a merciful God. But, Lord, begin to do the things that I've asked. He needs a strong mentor, and he needs someone he's going to sit with and trust, but he also needs someone that he will listen to. So I'm asking that you would raise up that man that he can listen to, that he will hear and hear and hear with the ears of wisdom and the ears of maturity. And then, Lord, I'm asking that you would cause him to hear and to feel. I'm taking his wife's brokenness, God, and in the spirit, by the spirit of the living God, I'm extending it into his soul. And God, I want him to feel everything that she felt. I want him to see it the way she sees it. I want him to do it. Thank God you can do this, because if he's done it unto the least of these, he's done it to you. And let him feel what it meant to you all those times that you forgave and restored, forgave and restored, forgave and restored. And then, Lord, I'm asking that you would purge him with the blood of the Lamb, and then give him the instruction and the counsel he needs to get back into this game and to do it the way you would do it. And we give you praise for ethical limonasikiada in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Hey, keep me posted.
Okay.
I do care, and I want to hear.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right,
bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ashley.
All right. That was powerful, actually. That was quite impactful. What we're going to do is take a 90-second break here, and then we're going to come back with Dr. Terry Thompson. He is on the line. We're going to talk about that Tulsa Prophetic Forum and why everybody wants to make it their business to be in Tulsa at the end of June.
Amen.
Welcome to PPM Global Resources, your one-stop ministry resource company. Whether ministry, professional, or personal, our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Explore the possibilities to conquer your world. Where are you going today? Ready to launch your own ministry? Want to develop a ministry training program? Looking for credible ministry education? You want guidance or direction? Maybe you just want to discover who you are. If you are a purpose seeker, looking for fresh resources, new ministry solutions, and endless possibilities, then welcome to PPM Global Resources, a ministry and professional resources company dedicated to meeting the needs of the 21st century minister. Why choose PPM Global? Because you want something better. We help build your vision, educate you in your calling, train you to succeed, teach you valuable skills, equip you to achieve, release you to conquer your world. Our business is your interests, whether ministry, professional, or personal. Our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. Think of us as your personal vision support team. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Your success is our passion. Check us out online or contact us at 877-649-PPMG.
Okay, we're back from that quick break with Dr. Paula Price on the Paula Price Show. And right now we also have on the line Dr. Price, Dr. Terry Thompson from Texas, of course, our apostle. Dr. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a delight to be with you this morning.
Wow. Well, listen, man of God, my brother in the Lord, how are you doing?
Well, I'm standing tall. The weather's fine, and I've had no tornadoes. I sent them all to Oklahoma.
Well, baby, they didn't come by here because, you know, I don't allow them to tear up my seat now. They don't come in my little town. But
hey,
I'm glad
to hear that because I was praying that way. You know, Tulsa, you know, it's very predictable, and the fact that it's unpredictable.
You know what? And that's more fronts than one, I got to tell you. Well, I'm excited about having you. I'm excited about having you on today. You know, I've missed you, and so we have a chance to just chat a little bit. One of the things I wanted is that we're inviting all of the speakers and trainers and developers that'll be at the forum to just share a little bit about it. And I asked for you today, Dr. Terry, because you have been to how many now? Is it five or six?
Let's see. Now, when did God close the door on Noah's Ark?
That's exactly that. That's in my calendar. That is in my calendar.
I think this is about my seventh or eighth one.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and for those of you who don't know, Dr. Terry has been a brother, a friend, a supporter to me. But he's also been a regular trainer. He's an apostle out of Texas, and he travels the world. He has ministry in South America, something really established in Venezuela and Malaysia. He does training and Bible. So you're talking about an amazing, amazing apostle of the Lord. He's a genuine ambassadorial apostle, and I've enjoyed working with him over the years. So here's what I'm going to ask you, Dr. Terry. I'm going to ask you to just talk a little bit about your time with us in the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Now, in October, we'll get the other one. But right now, let's talk a bit about your time and you as an apostle being a part of what we're doing in the Tulsa Prophetic Forum with prophets.
Well, and I thank you for the opportunity to share because I look forward to the Prophets Forum along with the other summit that we do together. But the Prophets Forum is one of those educational things that is needed today, especially with the release of the prophets' recognition in the last 20 to 25 years. As you know, that once something comes to the body of Christ, we either ignore it or we abuse it. And we the last thing the church wants to do is to try to understand it, because we have such a mentality that God is the God of yesterday and he's not the God of today. And so one of the things that we've had to come to grips with is that it's the first time in modern history that we've had to first of all, identify false prophets, we have to be very careful in that area with recognizing the fact that they are out there. And then we also have what I call the abusive prophets that are really genuine in a lot of ways, but they manipulate the system in a way that it is either a financial advantage or some kind of advantage that they take of the body of Christ. Saying that, though, the great thing about the Prophets Forum is that it now gives us the ability to become qualified as genuine prophets that are credentialed. And I'm not talking about man's recognition, but man recognizing what God's mantle is on a particular individual, and then helping them to develop their gifts so they can at some point be recognized to stand in an office. And so the Prophets Forum has been that venue for me. When I started coming there, I had some great understanding about the gift of prophet, but I had minimal understanding of how that develops into an office. And, of course, you know that gifts are temporal, and most of the time gifts are waiting until the real comes along. But the problem is we try to give an office to something that is temporal and undeveloped, and as a result, we have a lot of misuse, abuse, and misunderstanding in the area of the prophetic. So the Prophets Forum is a great place. If you're there and listening today and you're not registered already, you should be, because this is crucial times. We are a Daniel company. We are a people that are knowledgeable of the times of the Lord, but we also have to understand that there is the power of witness together, that we're all hearing the same thing that God seems to be releasing at this time.
Wow, that is awesome. You know what I like about what you said? I mean, I wrote down five things, so I'm going to go with the one that really impacted me the most, and that is you taking a moment, you know, as an apostle, to distinguish between the false prophet and the abusive prophet. And we know that the abusive prophet is the one that just was ill-trained, you know, or untrained, because usually you abuse what you don't know about. And because the more training you get, the more you are going to be perfected in the right way of doing something. I thought that was really amazing. And then manipulating the system. What a wonderful phrase. You know, we talk about that, the system of God. And I think that when we get back together on another one of these times, when I can have you in again, Dr. Terry, on a later time, we're going to talk about the systems of God, because I often use that phrase when I think about judgments. You know, some of the judgments of God fall down just because they're part of the system. You realize that the president is not stopping the speeder on the road, but the system is. And God has the system. If you remember Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, the watchers were the system. But there are, like Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffering violence. What is he saying? That's the system. And people are learning how to manipulate the system to take it by force. But I thought those two statements are amazing, and I'm really glad you shared them. I'm looking forward to us being there at the forum. Now, if you had to pick any one thing about your 7-year experience regarding the forum, any one thing that impacts you the most or that you appreciate the most about your participation, what would that be?
Well, to me, Dr. Price, it is the fact that we're not just trying to help people perfect a function to use it their own way, but to help them to understand that we are building a nation through this institution. And if the body of Christ could understand this, we would, if you go into other countries and you talk to some of their religious people and things, they have to be qualified in order to fulfill to stand in an office, and offices build nations, gifts builds personal identity, and we have too much in our country where, and really around the world, where people are still trying to master the individualism, how I can achieve personal self-fulfillment, and not realizing that we are a part of the body of Christ and that we have a mission, and that is to build the nation of Jesus Christ.
Oh, that is powerful. I like that, office building nation, you know, because we've been training people in the nation of Jesus Christ for the last, 10, 12 years, and then you coming in to help us. That is powerful in the individuality, because you bring me up on one of my pet phrases, and that is that we can't have unity without uniformity. And until we in offices impose uniformity, that's something that we have to do. Now, it doesn't clone, but it does impose uniformity. And I think that is just so amazing. I have one last question before we let you go. Just one last. You are a global apostle. You have traveled so many places. You know, I keep saying I want your frequent flyer miles, you know, because I'm sure that I can get 10 vacations out of those. But my last question to you, though, is, if being a part of the prophetic forum, have you found yourself being able or being comfortable with using the information and the experiences that you've had with the forum every year?
Oh, most definitely. We've been able to see now the Prophets Forum concept and your material, the Prophets Handbook, the Prophets Dictionary. I've encountered it in some of the classes that I've taught in Southeast Asia. I've also, now that it's in Spanish, I've actually seen the book itself in other countries. Particularly Venezuela, they have now started a class with the Prophets Dictionary. Down on the Texas-Mexico border, we just completed a three-day leadership summit there, and once again, we introduced the idea of the apostolic and the prophetic, encouraging them to get the Prophet's Dictionary because of the magnitude of the witchcraft that has come through different religions in those particular parts of the world. So the Prophets Forum gives you a great arena wherever you are in the world. The mystical is out there. The Prophets Dictionary, what it does is it introduces them to the prophet, Jesus Christ, and then how it is able to enhance and also to infiltrate into the community. So the Prophet Forum to me, you can read things in a book and you can hear it on the web, but and that's all great information. But Dr. Price, what happens at the forum, there's an impartation of spirit to spirit that you cannot get electronically. And that's why I encourage people to attend these Prophet Forum and the Apostles or Apostolic Summit, because that there's more that's caught there than it's just being taught.
Powerful, powerful. Well, I know I've appreciated you every year, and I think we are, we've been laboring together for a while, as we've said. I've appreciated it. I also appreciate letting them know how far and wide this goes, because this objective of unity through uniformity of mind, which is my fundamental mandate as an apostle, as a prophet, educator, and the institutor of the thing that God is doing, is that unity through uniformity. And I appreciate you sharing that. I am glad that you joined us. I'm surprised I got you, so I'm still stunned, and we'll talk about that later, that we got you today. But again, I want to tell everybody who's on, again, this is Dr. Terry Thompson, and he's from Texas. And I just want you to know that he has been working with us. He is the Global Leadership Network. If you want to go on the internet, you can key him up, either Dr. Terry Thompson or Global Leadership Network, and you will be able to read up about him, because he will be one of our trainers. He's also one of the apostles on my council, and we are just really close friends. And so that you can look at some of the work. He does trainings, and he has a wonderful class on church history that I cannot wait to hear about when we get together again. So listen, Dr. Terry, I thank you for joining us this morning. I thank you for sharing your heart. And I'm looking forward to us connecting again on in the end of June.
Yes, and I'll be there. Please give my girls all my love. And I look forward to meeting new friends and reconnecting with the old friends that understand our mission.
All right. Then thank you. And listen, talk to you again real soon. God bless.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Whew. Ashley, wasn't that wonderful?
That was great. I picked up on Dr. Terry's little joke there in the beginning when he said, "I'm standing tall in Texas." For those who don't know, he is 6'8". He's always standing tall.
I know. He says that, he's 6'8". I'm 5'2", so he calls us the long and the short of it. And that pretty much kind of spells us out. He's been a friend of ours for years. But wasn't it wonderful when him talking about where the Prophet's Dictionary is not only going, but being used?
Well, yes, and it ties also to your almost dogmatic teaching about apostles and prophets go together. And it is wonderful to see another apostle at large out there pushing the Prophet's Dictionary, putting it with the prophets as an apostle to ground this office and to ground this institution so we can work together to reestablish what God is doing here.
And I'm sure that it's happening. And what's really wonderful about the reestablishment is that we're putting tools in people's hands. They're getting these tools. They've got the Prophet's Dictionary. We've got the Prophet's Handbook, which is a great textbook for anybody who's training prophets. If you don't know where to begin and you've got a bunch of prophets, go online and get the Prophet's Handbook or go to your bookstore and get it, because it is a systematic way to train your prophets. It goes from the awakening to the promotion into the office. And I'm looking forward to that. Now, Ashley, I think we could probably have a little bit of a message about the Prophet's Forum that maybe you might want to share somewhere along in your button back there.
Well, I have a commercial I can play, and then when we come back, what I will do is I will take a few moments to talk about what specific things are going to happen at this year's Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Every year we like to spice it up and change it up just a little bit, and so we're going to take this quick break and be right back.
Do you love listening to Dr. Price live, but wish you could see her in person? Well, we'd like to invite you to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, June 27th through 29th. This dynamic prophetic event goes beyond your typical ministry conference, bringing prophets and prophetic types together to develop, train, equip, and empower. Early bird registration is $99 for individuals and runs through May 15th. For more information or to register online, visit TulsaPropheticForum.wordpress.com or call 877-419-1299. We'll see you there.
We're back just now wrapping up this segment about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. We keep pushing this event because it's worthy of being pushed, and we want to make sure that nobody misses the opportunity for what God is doing this year. Dr. Price is going to be teaching about, she's going to open up the conference. You're going to get plenty of Dr. Paula Price at this forum. She isn't just going to do one little incidental session and then have a whole bunch of people taking over. She will dominate the teaching at this event. And so she's going to be teaching about the prophecy continuum that first day. So make sure you bring your notebooks, your laptops, everything you need to capture outside of course, your own recording devices, because we don't allow that because we sell, we put this in our school. But she's going to be teaching on the prophecy continuum and how we as prophets, prophetic types. Let me take a moment to say right now that the forum is not just for ordained prophets. The forum is for those who should belong in a prophetic company, which would be your dreamers, your prophesiers, your intercessors, and your prophets as well as your worshipers and worship leaders. Anybody who handles the Spirit of God should be coming to this Tulsa Prophetic Forum, because Dr. Price is also going to be teaching about constructing the prophetic company. How do you put your company together, and how do you become an effective member of a prophetic company? We say around here with her ministry, this is it's not a prophet's company, it's a prophetic company. It's for people flowing in the prophetic in many different manifestations and in many different levels and emphasis. Not everybody is called to be a high-level official, but there is a place for you, and it is very valuable. We're going to have Dr. Price's prophets. Our chief prophet, Paula Price, is going to be teaching an evening workshop breakout session. Myself will be teaching one. I will. Prophet Adia Peterson, and of course our guest prophet Jonathan Ferguson will be teaching. Dr. Terry Thompson, who you just heard on the phone, he is amazing. You can tell by the way he speaks that he has saturated himself with these works and has been not just a respecter of Dr. Price's work, but submitted himself to it and taken it on. He too will be teaching on his topic, and so your life will be changed. It will never be the same. You're going to learn about raising the bar. If you're transitioning from gift to office, we have a workshop for you. If you are an intercessor and you're learning how to rule the supernatural, we have a workshop for you. If you want to learn about prophecy basics, the basics of prophecy, we have a workshop for you. Constructing the contemporary prophet. If you are in that prophet's office, there's a place for you too, as well as prophets in this generation. What to change, what to keep, what are we doing with the office of the prophet? There is a workshop for that as well. Dr. Price sits down. She prays intensely about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum every single year. And she about being the prophet, learning the prophetic, and being in the prophetic in present tense. It doesn't make sense that prophets should be behind the times. We should be ahead of the times. And that only comes through prayer and getting God's mind on where he's going next. So I'm excited. I'm already preparing. I'm fired up. I know Dr. Price is, as well as the other prophets here, because the Spirit of God is moving very heavily in Tulsa as these powers are coming into our area. We can feel your prayers. We can feel your presence coming in ahead of you, and we are gearing up to have the most amazing Tulsa Prophetic Forum to date. Our attendance, let me take a moment to say this. If you are planning on coming, and let's say you are still pulling your funds together, call us or email us so we can still put your name on a piece of paper. We are filling up our room very quickly. We've already exceeded our expectations because your response is so overwhelming. And we're only in May. And so we want to know that we're going to have room for everybody, or how we need to rearrange our setup to see to it that we have a seat for everyone. And so the seats are running out. I'm telling you right now, that is not some sort of gimmick or ploy. That is the absolute truth. And you need to call us and let us know today if you can. We're coming. We're going to pay our registration tomorrow, the top of next week, whatever. But put our names down so we know what to expect and we know how to plan for you. Don't let that opportunity go by. So there's my plug for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Dr. Price, are you ready?
Well, I am, but we forgot one of the things, and that is, also the worshipers, prophetic worshipers, and not just musicians, you know, because they are different between a minstrel and a psalmist, you know, and we need to distinguish that sound and the responsibilities of each. But I'm excited, and she's right, guys. It really is true. Surprisingly, the room is filling up, but we still have a number of seats ready for those of you who are there. I want to put a special invitation out to the pastors and apostles and the prophets who have prophetic companies and intercessors. Bring your group. It is so much easier to shift when you bring your group to the same shifting well than it is to come yourself and then take it back home. If they are able to travel, bring them. If they're able to come, or at least bring a good contingency so that you can have more than you trying to take it back home and disseminate it to the rest of the people. So I'm excited about it. I want to go to my next call. I want to talk to somebody.
Okay, well, it's the top of the hour. And so at the top of the hour, what I'm going to do is, actually, Raven is back on the line this week, Dr. Price. She called last week, and she just actually wants to take a quick second to thank you for your prayers and to share with you her name that she has for our show. Raven, welcome to the call.
Great, I'm excited.
Hi,
Raven. Hi,
Dr. Paula Price. Hi, how are you?
I am great. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for asking.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. I'm calling today, Dr. Paula, to express to you how grateful I am to be a part of your show every Thursday. Last week, I took a road trip to see my mom in Louisiana, and I was just so thankful that I could plug my phone into the car and access your Facebook page just by clicking a link to listen to the blog talk show from the previous day that I had missed. Listening to you gives me so much spiritual insight. And during this drive, I actually got to listen for 2.5 hours, and it helped me stay awake. And every time I listen to you, it just really stirs my spirit. And I have found that even if you're not speaking directly to me through my own personal prayer request, I get counsel from your discussions with the other callers. During the drive, I was able to hear from God, and I was just thankful that you started putting these recordings on your page for me to listen to. This leads me to why I'm calling. A couple of weeks ago, I heard you say that you were looking for callers to come up with a creative name for your show. Over the past few weeks, I have been really seeking God for something that I could lay before you. So many different names have come to mind, but nothing jumped out at me. However, today, God has revealed to me the name that I wanted to share with you, which is titled The Prophetic Council. God has shown me that your show is like a council. You are the leader of this peculiar group, a unique professional, qualified, appointed person that is able to hear information from God in order to help us make specialized rulings in our lives. You do this by governing us through prayer and spiritual wisdom. This panel or group comes together every Thursday through a prayer meeting to hear you speak a particular topic in order for us to make specialized rulings in our lives through these peculiar discussions. Again, I just wanted to share with you what was revealed to me, and I hope that this gives you a deeper respect for what you do for us as it has for me. You really enrich the kingdom of God during your show, and I just wanted to say thank you, Dr. Paula Price.
Oh, Raven, thank you. That touches my heart. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm glad that you gave me your name. So you submitted a name. So, you know, we're going to post them all and list them, and then we're going to have a vote to see which one lands where God wants. It's not even about where I want. It's where God wants. But thank you so much. You have no idea how encouraging it is. And then maybe you do, stepping out to do something unusual and knowing that God is with you and that the people are getting what is in my heart. So I thank you. I bless you. I pray God's blessings upon you. I pray your continued growth and strength in God and your wisdom. You clearly are very prophetic, and I'm excited about having you a part of our Paula Price call every week, but also a part of the family. You know, I keep telling everybody we're family, and this means a lot to me. It's not something I'm saying idly. That's why I'm making a big deal about the forum. I want to get everybody in. I've got a lot of hugging to do. I got to meet the fans. But I'm excited about this. Thank you so much, Raven, for your call and for your courage, encouragement. And, Lord, and for your name, we're going to add it to the ones we're getting, and we're going to see what God comes up with. How's that?
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. God bless you, my beloved.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. Ashley, wasn't that wonderful?
That was great.
Oh, my gosh. I'm touched. I'm like, oh, God, this is wonderful. Wow.
I think I might have
a little tear
in my eye.
I know. I have two. You know, I'm older. I can have two tears, you know. But listen, I'm excited because we're starting to get names to add to our list so we can have a nice voting pool. Maybe we'll talk about them at the forum. What do you think?
Oh, I think that would be great. I'm going to I got an email a few days ago from someone else. I'm going to try and pull that up on my phone and let you know what that one was as well after your next call.
Great. Who am I going to talk to next?
You have Sharon on the line from New Jersey. Sharon, you're on with Dr. Price. She is calling for direction for her life.
Good afternoon, Dr. Price. I just want to let you know that it is really a privilege to actually get in. I've been waiting for a while, and I'm on lunch, so I just want to say that the group of people you work with are phenomenal. I've taken the assessment test, and I'm totally floored by the results. However, I still need direction. Just coming out of a bad marriage for 10 years, got divorced March 26, and I just can't get rid of this ex-husband. I was awarded the house. He's still in the house. I've asked him to leave. I've threatened him to leave. I've prayed him to leave. I've fasted to leave, seated to leave. Still there.
Wow. Now, is he supposed to be out legally?
Yeah, legally. He's supposed to be out. And
okay.
I also have a question about a business that the Lord gave me. I've had it for 5 years now, and it's just not doing anything or going anywhere. And ministry.
Whew, you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're in transition?
I thought I was in transition, but now I feel like I'm just hanging out there. I feel like I'm in limbo with
uh-huh.
no, I don't know what God wants me to do or what I'm supposed to be doing or what I'm not doing. I'm just here.
Well, I got to tell you a couple things that I do get about you, and I'm going to pray. Just right now, I'm asking you, God, open up her page to us. Open up your archives. Walk us into her book of life and into the season of this book right now in the name of Jesus, Father, that we can give her your mind on these very difficult issues. And I bless you for doing it, Father God. Amen and amen. You know, I want to say this to you, my beloved. The first thing I want to tell you is that if he's supposed to be out, then put him out. Just get him forcibly removed. If you want
okay.
him out, move. You know,
okay.
otherwise, if he's not supposed to be out legally, that's a whole other thing. But if you already have it, then forcibly remove it. That's not
okay.
all going to be the end of it. But let me tell you what I will do. I will pray to break this bond in the spirit because that's part of it. Obviously,
yeah.
he feels he has a right. He feels that he is dependent. He feels like nobody's going to put me out my house. You know, folk get territorial. And so he seems like he's a pretty territorial guy. But I would, before even that, I'm going to pray for God to step in and break the tie that's bound. Because there's a binding tie. He feels like there's something incomplete. Either he doesn't want to accept the divorce or whatever. I'm telling you, he feels like there's something incomplete. And God has to give him that sense of completion. That's the first thing. Secondly, you are in transition. But you are, it is stagnated because you can't go on. But I want to just say this. Is there any reason why you have to stay in that house?
No. Actually, to be honest with you, I don't even know if God wants me to keep this house. It's in limbo. Everything is in limbo. It's in limbo with foreclosure. The bank doesn't want to foreclose yet, and I think God ain't letting them foreclose yet. Well, they have the right to. They should have foreclosed a long time ago. But I want him out so I can try to sell it.
Right. Well, then that's what you need to do. You need to go ahead on the same attorney that handled the divorce, and you see how you can get some wise counsel on that. I would get wise counsel. That's me. I'm always going to get some counsel because a lot of times there are nuances that professionals in a particular field know that we have no idea. We may have broad strokes on how things work, but those people who are handling it every day, those are the people you want to talk to. I would get some very wise counsel. That would be the first thing. Second thing is, I'm telling you, the house is gone. I don't know what that means, but it's a dead issue. That's why I ask you, or should you be? I thought you should be selling it because I think that's what you should be doing. You should be selling it. So you need to get some counsel to find out how you can sell it, if you can get some sort of quick sale deal or deed, or how God wants to do it in your particular area. That's what I want to say to you. The next thing God says as far as your business goes, you are actually too emotionally and psychologically drained to even see what you're supposed to do in your business right now. Right. You have, like, your emotion, your resources are spent. They're like, it's almost like you have exceeded your budget in a major, major way. And if I had to give you any counsel, I think the first thing I would say to you is you need to go away for a week or two. You need to get out of that airspace because you can't think. You can't think. You can't hear God. You got a dream. Don't know what it means. I hear words. Somebody prays. I don't know. You need to find a place where there is the airspace is clear, where you can sit and think. And if God will provide you with those resources, I'm going to ask him to do it, you need that. You need to go at least 10 days. You need to be alone with Christ because there's an emptying out that has to happen in your spirit. There is a replenishing. There's a refueling. There's a retooling. There's a whole lot going on. What people don't realize is that just because divorce seems easy mechanically, divorce is not easy emotionally. Emotionally, divorce is agonizing. Because, we do it so easily in the church. We jump in marriage, jump out, I felt it, don't feel it. But I'm telling you something that we don't realize. There's a reason why God was against divorce. When I researched it and I tracked it, but not just, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have gotten divorced. I'm trying to tell you what you're living with right now. But when I was studying divorce, maybe 12 years ago, 15 years ago, I just wanted to say, okay, I was reading, the Lord God hates divorce and stains one's garment. What is that, God? Come on, what are you talking about here? And so I realized that in the biblical mind, divorce accomplished two things. And for the woman, it accomplished decapitation, spiritually speaking, and for the man, amputation. Because remember, bone in my bone, flesh in my flesh, the rib. And so that, in the spirit, that type of cut has to happen, and it has an effect. If you had a physical wound and of that magnitude, you would be laid up for a while. We just keep going on, and we go on because we have to. We don't get an opportunity not to. We have jobs, responsibilities, and things like that. But the bottom line is there still has to be that healing. There has to be that recovering. There has to be the suturing of the wound. There has to be the stopping of the bleed out and all of those things, because our emotions don't bleed their blood. We don't think they bleed, but they do. They bleed, and that's why we have all these physical ailments. And so I'm going to pray for your healing because you need some time to know what just happened to you, to understand why. And so, your emotions, you bleed memories. You bleed disappointment. You bleed heartache. You bleed rejection and all of those kinds of things. You don't bleed the red blood, but there still is a bleed out. And we have to start realizing that, which is why God has to come in and blot our wounds, And because a broken soul is a hard thing. And you are strong. I'm listening to your voice, and you sound like you're strong. I can get through this. I can do this. God, I know it. But I want you to understand, my beloved, you need to get out of that airspace for a while to hear God. Because there are some new marching orders for you. And God wants you to be able to not just pick yourself up and go on. He wants you to get up off your recovery bed and get back into life whole. Because you have a big future. At this stage, I know if you're like most of us, at this stage of your life, you're like, I don't know where it is. But you have a big future. Do you realize Abraham's biggest future was what? When he met God? I mean, come on, it was between, what was it? He's in his 70s. And God told him, okay, now I'm ready. Life is on. You talk about Moses. Life is on. When God gets a person, a giant that goes through the battles of life, goes through the wars of life, and recovers and rebounds and recovers and rebounds, he builds us with that strength. When you get to the point, just when we think we're ready to stop, God is ready to go on and put us to work. I would say, I teach a sermon would say God got Moses out of the Social Security line. He was ready to go and get some benefits and sit down. God said, now I want you to go and set my people free. You, beloved, have a lot to offer. Now, you're going to do it because you are strong. You have a strength that is enviable. But if you don't listen to me, it's going to take you longer to get back on your feet than it needs to. So you need that time. You also need to get a good counselor if you feel like I want somebody to talk to, because you do. You have to. Sometimes you have to, you know, process this out, you know. And so, you know, talking is like the soul's bloodletting. It lets that stuff out, you know. And so you're going to need a counselor to help you talk this stuff out, somebody who's gonna pray with you and who's going to let you say what you need to say, because contrary to popular belief, just like when you cut yourself naturally, that thing has to bleed. To clot, so does your soul. And you need to have, I don't care if it's venting anger, rage, hurt, disappointment, you're going to need that. You may not need it this month, but you can mark my words, within the next 7 to 12 months, you're going to need that. And I'm praying for that person to be there at that time when you need it. That is my second prayer for you. Ministerially, you're not ready to do that. You won't know what to do ministerially until you come back from this place that you're going to visit so you can get your head clear. Because you have to wrap your head around a whole new life. I tell people, and I've had, you know, couples divorce in my church, and I said, you know, divorce is a funny thing. Because when the spirit of divorce enters your marriage, it never stops. It is a nag. It never stops. It brings everything into its mantra. Everything is into its power of suggestion. Nothing pleases you. And it keeps making you think that nothing was ever good about the marriage, even on his side or your side. I'm not making a judgment call. This is generic. But that thing works you until it wins, because it plays to win, because it has been released as a prince in our society. So that thing works, and it works your friends. It'll work strangers. Any ear, any channel it can get, it will keep it up until it talks you into seeing divorce as the only option to your relationship. That is how that thing plays out. Problem is, it's not till you get out of the marriage that you realize how many things were working too. And so you have a lot of readjustment. When he goes and you're on your own, there's a lot of readjustment, psychological readjustment, habitual readjustment, habitation readjustment, all of those things. These are normal, and they're part of the process. Now, again, I'm telling you, you are one strong lady, and God said to tell you, I am with you. He said, and I am for you. And he said, and I came to lay an axe to the root of that thing. And I put my axe to the root of it. But even if we ask God for a solution and he does it, we're going to feel it. And that's the piece that we don't address, because, you know, we, especially us, you know, we the charismatic folk, word of faith, you know, we don't feel anything. Somebody dies, we up and at them and keep on going. But that is not healthy. And that's why so many Christians are dysfunctional, because they're bleeding all over the place from all of those things that they've not dealt with, to just try to keep on pushing in life, and also to try to show God, see, Daddy, I'm strong. See, Dad, I don't need. See, Dad, I'm bad. It didn't hurt. I'm okay. But I'm telling you, God is going to send down from heaven, and you have given me an opportunity to give this word, a wind of healing. He's going to heal his body. He has sent forth angels that are going to suture our wounds, and it's going to stitch us up, and it's going to give us our ice packs and give us our treatment that he can get us back in the race. And he's going to send down a whole force, the Holy Ghost, is, even as I speak, raising up and putting our shattered minds together, because your life will stay as shattered as your mind. And a lot of times, if God doesn't fix the shattered mind and our shattered soul, our lives are never going to come whole. He wants that for you, because your ministry is going to be one of therapeutic healing. You are a woman who has an anointing to help others feel good, which is why this is hard for you. Help others get back on their feet. You can do that in your sleep, but this is difficult for you right now. So I'm going to tell you, you need that breakaway. And when you get the breakaway, take your book, take your laptop, take your Bible, take your tapes, and sit down. Don't go someplace where they got casinos and all that stuff. They say, you're not going to relax. You want to go someplace where you can just hear God. You can do some walks and some, you know, and just clear your head, because this has been a long, bitter, violent journey for you.
Yes. Yes. I also have a 9-year-old son, so wherever I go, I'm going to have to take him with me. So
that's, he needs it. Your son needs it. Kids feel it. They can't express it the way we do. He feels it. And
yeah,
if you found a place.
And
a who?
I said, and a 23-year-old daughter who's also going through on this.
Yeah, well, this is a big deal. It's a long journey, and it's a big deal. You hid a lot from them. You covered a lot and shielded them from a lot of things. And now it's like they're not even prepared to understand the magnitude of all that was going on and the depth of what's just happened. So they're kind of reeling with this. But you do.
Yeah.
But even with that, you do need time away from them. If all you can do is half time with them and half time without them. But I'm trying to tell you, by the Spirit of the living God, you have to find a way.
Okay. All right. So in your prayer, please include finances and time away from the job.
Well, I'm going to include finances. Listen to me. Here's the kind of woman I am. If the word is of God, the wherewithal, the provision will come. And when it comes, you have to recognize it's not coming to pay a bill or anything else. It's coming as a result of this prayer, and you are to use it for that.
Okay. Amen.
All right? Father, thank
Amen.
You so much for Sharon. She's a blessed woman, God, and I thank you for her leadership, her strength, her counseling ability, and God, and all of these ministerial attributes and treasures that she carries in her being for the body of Christ. But right now, Lord, it's her time. So we are offering Sharon and her family on your altar. We lift her up by the Spirit of God and lay her out on your altar for the healing, for the cleansing, the purging, and restoration that only you can give, Lord Jesus, as our faithful high priest. We thank you, Lord, that you begin to prepare this body to be a living sacrifice to you, this soul, this mind. We're asking that you would heal her broken heart, that you would cause her family to become established in the new day that you have created for them. Lord, the day which you have made, Lord, let them become people who rejoice and are glad. And I thank you for it. I thank you for peace in her house. Now, Lord, I visit that husband. I don't have to make a judgment call on who's right or wrong, but I'm asking that you would touch his heart. I'm asking that you would also give him hope, God. I'm asking that he is not going to fall into such a despair that he can't get on his feet and go on with his life. I'm asking that you would take every fear that's got him immobilized right now out of his being, and God, cause him, break this bond, break his stronghold in his life, and Lord, sever this thing once and for all, and give him the grace and the power to go forward. Lord, let us never forget that it's not our, you don't get the luxury of saying, I'll do him and not her, I'll do her and not him. Lord, these are people, they have been made by your hand, made by your Spirit, and you have a responsibility to both of them. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you for visiting him and healing him, and Lord, blotting his soul and causing him to get up and go forward in his life, and to let go what must be let go. I'm asking you, God, to kill and slaughter by the immolation of the Holy Ghost what must die. And God, I'm asking you to breathe the fires of life on these lives and cause them to get up and go forward, making better decisions in the future, being wiser in the future. And then, Lord, I'm asking that you would make them stronger. Now, God, as far as this woman's break is concerned, you know, Lord, what you have. So we reach into your resources in her life, her private apportionment that you set aside for her life. We reach into that, Father God, and we pull forth the provision she needs to go and act on this council. God, I thank you for picking the place, picking the people, and all of the arrangements. And God, I'm asking you to do it on a dime and a nickel and a penny, because you can do that. I'm asking that you would cause her to fall onto the good favor of someone and the goodwill of someone who can make. And make it happen for her and her family. And God, when she sets herself apart and she sets herself away, Holy Father, I'm asking that you visit her in the way that she has not had in decades, and bring her back online with the destiny that you have written for her. And I bless you for doing it, Almighty God, because you are our Father, and you are a merciful God. You delight in mercy. So I'm asking you to do it, and I'm asking you to send forth resources to that husband that he can feel hope, but not only that, that he too can not only get counsel and instruction, but have resources to move on with his life. And we bless you for doing it, God, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, woman of God. Keep me posted.
I will. Thank you. God bless.
You're welcome. God bless. Bye-bye. Well, praise the Lord. Ashley, how are we doing?
Praise the Lord. That was powerful. That was really good. And that spoke to a couple people on the line, I know, because they were letting me know. So
I'd love to hear from them. Huh?
Yes. I said, I think you handled a few birds with that one stone, so to speak.
Yeah, and one of them being stop playing with the spirit of divorce. Just because they push it, just because the signs are everywhere, anytime you see Satan pushing anything, and anytime you see anything popularized that is inherently destructive, you need to know that there's a prince attached to that, and he is looking to bring his horde in. Satan just his devil's quota, too. You act like only God has a number, but Satan has a quota, too, and he is always looking to destroy what God has. So I will speak to any of you out there, and I don't know who you are. I'm telling you, stop dreaming. Stop talking to counselors about, well, if it doesn't work out, and begin to believe God. If you say it was a mistake, guess what? God has made some of the most powerful, built the most powerful kingdoms out of mistakes. I'm telling you, and I'm saying to you, that prince is a real prince, and he has a whole horde whose job it is to bring in their quota of broken marriages and destroyed lives. And you need to recognize that the Lord Jesus is trying to work for you. And you're going to have to be good at that. One day we'll have a time on this phone where I'm going to give you some tips on how to fight those powers, because those are real spirits. And you have to recognize that they have an agenda. Not only do they have an agenda, they have quotas. They have to bring forth real destroyed lives. Don't let your marriage be their casualty.
Oh,
fight
wow.
for your marriage. Fight for your union. You know, God put it together, and you war for it. And stay around people who are succeeding instead of being around people who are miserable like you. Misery likes company for a reason. So I'm saying that to every one of you on the line. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your spouse. And listen, fight. Not don't fight to just keep it as it is, but fight for it to be transformed into what God had in mind. Because, you know, there are a lot of things that God has, and there's some that shouldn't be. You know, those, you got all that molestation and incest going on in there. That needs to die. Kill that. But understand, if it's just about I don't like the talking and he doesn't spend enough time and I don't want to be second fiddle and I don't like the friend, you realize that people divorce over trivia? That's a game. And so I would say to each and every one of you, bless the Lord. I pray for your marriages. I pray for your unions. I pray for your family. Let us stop being so quick to give up. And that's the power of God in us. You know, grace is about you being incapable of giving up on what God wants. It makes you incapable of giving up on what God wants. And that's what I want to say to you all today. I got time for a few more calls. Is that right, Ashley?
You do. That's powerful. I also want to say, first of all, I want to say it's just really ridiculous the kind of wisdom that we get on this call, this show, every single week. It just keeps rolling like an ocean. Like, where does all this water keep coming from? And yet it's there every time we go to get a drink. And also, it's going to continue tonight. Tonight you're having a live Prophets Chambers webinar, seminar, teleconference this evening from 8 to 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. We're going to be sending out an email and posting on Facebook. If anybody wants to register for that, Dr. Price has opened it up to the public as well as her students who are on our PPM Global Life Tracks and Ministry Tracks program, where the wisdom will just keep rolling.
Well, yes, and maybe tonight, I'll tell you what I'll do. Tonight I'll teach on that. I'll talk about how to defend your kingdom possessions and treasures from the princes that's stalking them for prey.
Ooh.
That's going to be really good. And I mean, you know, and I say that because It's not. This is more than spiritual warfare, because some of this warfare is not spiritual. Some of it is psychological. Some of it is your habits. Some of it is your consciousness. Some of it is your belief system. Some of it is your upbringing. You know, we need to find out what the name of your saboteurs are, because they have a rock somewhere, and we have to expire their assignments in your life. So we're going to talk about tonight expiring the strong man. We want to expire his assignment. He has an expiration time, and his expiration time is when you're sick of him.
Well, this is good. I'm excited.
So join me tonight. I don't know how they do it. You know, one of the wonderful things about having a staff is I don't have to know how they do what they do. Just understand that they're going to see to it that you get seat in that class tonight. It's going to be a live webinar. You're going to get me personally, which is not common because many times I do audio. But today God wants to talk, so we're going to give the Lord what he wants.
Amen. Praise him.
Because you know he's the sugar. All right, so give me another caller because I want to talk to somebody else.
Well, you want to talk to Dolores from Oregon right now. She is trying to move from Oregon to California and is having a challenge selling her house. So what she wants to know is it really God's timing for her to move? Dolores, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, Dolores. How are you doing?
Hello, doctor.
Hello?
I'm good.
Hello,
I'm good. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Glad to hear from you.
Well, this is my first time, and as she said, I'm trying to make a decision to move. It was something that I thought about for a long time, that when my baby graduates from college, when the last child leaves home, I want to relocate because it's too cold here in Oregon, and I'm getting older, and I just cannot stand the cold weather anymore. So I had someone who was interested in buying my house, and it seems to me like there is a lot of little things that's coming up that they are not honest with me with. And so I just want to know if this is the time to really do this or not.
Okay. Well, you're going to love my answer, Dolores. Two things I want to say to you. First of all, God bless you for having your baby just finished, because I know what that's like. And you do have a wonderful next season of your life, next generation of your life awaiting you. You have a genuine track on God and your destiny to, you know, flourish and prosper. There are a lot of unfinished things that you have had to put on hold for like 13 and 23 years, get those two, that you have to put on hold that God is going to have you revisit and get an opportunity to visit. And that's probably why I'm sure that's why he's got you relocating. But I want to say this to you. I don't know about the person that's buying your house or not. I'm going to pray for God to release that person. But you don't need to sell there. You can rent your house and move. You know, a lot of times when we see hardship in one way, we're not accustomed as Christians, you know, traditionally schooled by our past to think plan B. Plan B is you can rent it. You will have get yourself a nice real estate company to rent your house if you feel like you need to move. So, and the reason I gave you that counsel is not because that's the ideal or not ideal way, but it's to get you thinking on a line of plan B. Just because something is difficult does not mean it isn't God. As a matter of fact, the most difficult thing God ever did was save us and bring the church from heaven to earth, and guess what? He did it. So God must. Now, I think that here's what I have found, if I could share with you a little bit of the wisdom. I have found that when you have those kind of difficulties that you're talking about, many times it's God working his calendar. Like there is a day you need to leave, and there is and at other times it's God preparing, holding this for the person to come. The person to buy your house has not shown up yet. Because when that person shows up, that thing is going to work like grease.
Amen.
And you're going to know it. Now, you have an amazing instinct for people reading. Your spirit, something in your gut will tell you what's going on with people. You need to follow that. That has saved you many a days in your life. It has gotten you through many situations in your life. So you've got that same gut instinct. And the only reason you're second-guessing it now is because you want to get out of there.
Yes.
Don't do
I
that.
Agree.
You're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. Wait for that thing that has given, it taught you what school to send your children to. It taught you the day and time to do this. It told you the jobs to get. It lets you know when to leave a job. It even told you when to cut off friends and relationships and how to move from church to church. That thing has been reliable in you. You have an amazing instinct for that. Don't second guess it because you want to hurry up and have your way.
Thank you so much because, you know, it's also my health reason because I've been so many different things, you know, I just don't want to be in Portland. And yes, you're right. There are things that I've put off and there are things that I need to do in the kingdom for kingdom purposes that being here in Portland, it's not working. It's not, I'm not feeling it. I think I need to be out more to, you know, investigate and to do more for God, and I'm not getting it done. I think I've done all I can here in Portland, and it's time for me to move on because I want to do more greater things in the kingdom, and I'm kind of like my hands are tied. I'm kind of strengthened right now in doing that, and it, you know, it created a lot of stress on me and, you know, health issues and all kinds of stuff because I'm totally checked out of Portland. Mentally checked out, body's here.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you working full-time? Do you have a full-time job?
I am a foster parent. I take care of children that parents can't manage to take care of, so I can leave whenever. My husband has a full-time job, but he's ready to go, too, and he can resign and relocate and do other things, you know. We just don't want to go somewhere and be strapped where our finances get stupid and we just can't function. I know God is able to do all things.
Yeah, but that's fine. You know, let's just crush the God is able to do all things myth. Let's understand God is able to do anything God wants. God can make anything happen he wants, but the Bible says that his works were finished before the foundation of the world, which means God is bringing his word to pass in our seasons, in our timing and generations. And so, now I say that to you to say, if even for God to do all things, God in God's world has no impedance. He think it is so, he say it is done. When he start trying to send things down here in our 24/7 physical world, it takes time. And that's the word that we don't give people. It takes time, it takes people, it takes events, it takes calendars, clocks, and all of those kinds of things. That's a prophetic knowledge that we have taken from people, and we put it in like a mystical, magical thing. And so we feel like if we don't do something reckless, we're not believing God. No, you have wisdom. Your instincts will tell you. I'm telling you what I know about you, Dolores. Your instincts are so keen, you know that you're forcing this out of season. You don't want to admit it because when you're done, you're done, and when you want what you want, that's fine. But I'm telling you, your instincts are keen. And I'm telling you that unless you need to go, this is my counsel to you. You need to find out what ministry you're going to work with. You say you want to do it for Kingdom. Find what ministry or enterprise you want to work in California. You need to go back and forth with that thing to help set it up and build it up. You need to make sure that you are established in the land. You're going to have to get your spirit in the spiritual climate of the land because just getting up going, that's fine. But moving from state to state, city to city, nation to nation, this impacts everything about your sphere of life is important. Everything. You know the scope of the land, you know the government, you know the politics, you know the customs, you know the ordinances, you know all of that. You know how to play the game, how to get a job. You know that when you go to California, none of that is there. It's going to take a good year or so for your spiritual contact and your spiritual possessions to go with you. And meanwhile, you're going to be in that land naked, fighting those princes by yourself. So if I had to give you counsel, and I'm giving you counsel because you called me, I'm telling you, you need to establish something there first.
Yes.
So if you can travel at will, then you need to establish your work there. If you're going to work with a minister or work with a ministry, then you go there and find that ministry. You make it a point of being there every other month or every once or every weekend or whatever it is. It might not, I mean, they hop and skip from each other. So you can make it your point of going there and being there and setting up something for yourself, setting up receptivity, setting up acceptance, setting up the whole thing. You don't know the systems or anything, not even God's systems there. And so I think that God is trying to tell you, do this the way you know is most prudent for you and your security.
Yes.
We don't always have to be reckless just to prove that we have faith.
Yes, I agree.
So that's my prayer for you. So if you have a ministry there, work that, go there and work with them. Get to know them. Let them get to know you. Create a place in your land. You know, Lord Jesus used a phrase that is so powerful all the while he was teaching. I go to create a place for you. We go places where he hasn't created something for us yet, and we have to rough it until that place is carved.
Yes. There is a ministry that I am going back to about 24 years ago. We started a church there, and I left about 10 months after we started the church. I moved to Portland because I want to raise my 7 children here in Portland so they could get a good education, and thank God he has done that. And so we decided to do this, and I've gone back there, and that's a place that was on my heart out of every place that I have, you know, looked around to. And that's the only place that was tugging on my heart that I need to go back and finish what I started. And so I have been talking to the pastors there. I have visited there twice. I'm going back down in July to kind of get a feel because things have changed. It's not the same way, as you said, it's not the same way like I, you know, when I was there. So there's new rules, new things, and new ministries, same pastors, but people that I don't know, other people that I don't know. So I agree with that, yes.
Well, then you need to make sure, use the instinct that you have. And that's what, I keep giving you that word because that's really what God is telling you. And apparently, you and the Lord Jesus have built up over the years a special communications bond that lets you know what he's doing, and he lets you know where he is. And you know where God is on this. So, you, number one, the people who are going to sell your house, or they're going to buy your house, rather, they're not coming to your sphere of life. God is holding them up because there are some instructions and some wisdom that he wants to give you. Number two, God said he gave you a special instinct as a witness. Rely on that witness because by now you have honed it to a pretty reliable response to your questions and your issues. So that's the second thing. Thirdly, God wants you to establish yourself in that work before you go, because I used to travel. I'm telling you, I used to travel all over the place, and everywhere I went, oh, yeah, we need you here. We need you here. God, we can do a work here. Baby, don't believe that. As a visitor, everybody welcomes you. As a resident, you're a rival.
Yeah.
And you need to know that as a resident, you will be a rival. And so you need to create that, establish peace, establish communication, and establish receptivity.
Yes.
And that, you know, that's the part that I want. We can win this thing. This battle is going to be yours. The victory is yours. You're going to win this battle, but you can play it, and you can war strategically. It doesn't have to always be just, you know, haphazardly. Well, God say up and go. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. We'll find out when we get there. Well, you know what? When we say we'll find out when we get there, we really are believing in our heart that when we get there, we'll find out the good and easy way that God set up for us. So we're not ready to find out that we went too soon or we went the wrong way or we should have waited or we should have set up a few things first. That's not what we mean when we say we'll find out when we get there. What we mean is when I get there, God better have had it done. You know, God said something to me, and I want to give you the word he said to me. He said, look, I think we need to have a readjustment of our relationship. You know, God and I, we have those real blunt talks. And so he said to me, let me give you this piece of advice. I don't work for you. You work for me. I'm the potter. You're the pottery.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm the king. You're the subject. And I'm your lord. And you are my servant. And see, a lot of the reckless things that we've done to God are based on the fact that we forgot those fundamental realities about who he is. Jesus is comfortable, elder brother all day long. But you realize that Barack is the elder brother of whoever he is, but he's still the head of a free world.
Mm.
So just because Jesus is our elder brother does not make him our slave, and it doesn't make a difference how casual his family wants to treat him. He has a whole kingdom and said, you will not treat me casually. And that's what we need to learn about Jesus Christ. He may be our elder brother, but he's still the head of creation, and he's still the Lord of lords. So God says to tell you, remember I'm your Savior. I've always saved you, but heed my advice.
Yes.
And he said, be still and know that I'm God. Now, let me pray, because I'm going to pray for your body. Father, thank you for Dolores. Thank you for her healing. God, thank you for her health. God, I'm thanking you also for giving her some nutritional supplements to strengthen her body. She's got a drain that doesn't make sense right now. I'm asking that you would give her some supplements, cause her to go to a nutritionist, go to a doctor, whatever she needs. I still see nutritionists. God, cause her to go to a professional to find out how she can begin to restore her body, restore her flesh, restore her joints and her bones. And God, and I'm asking you to do a healing in her back and in her lower extremities that she can begin to have the flexibility and the mobility that she needs. And Lord, I thank you for causing her to change her diet so that it will accommodate the healing that you're doing right now. We ask God that everybody, anything that you have not sent to buy that house doesn't even see it, and we release those that you have sent to buy it. I'm asking God that you would let her go back to where she is in California, cause her to see it with the true eyes, hear it not with the aspirations of her heart and with the desires of her heart, but to hear and see it as it really is, so that she can make her decisions wisely and that she can make them take prudent steps for being there. And God, I really thank you. I
thank you, Lord.
I thank you for giving me an opportunity to bless her life. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you something. I went to that church with you in prayer just now, and all I saw was a huge grasshopper. There is something in the spiritual climate you need to know about, so you need to start praying about that.
Okay. What did you see? A huge what?
Grasshopper. Huge. So I need you to go and I need you to start praying about what's in the underbelly of that ministry, because there's something in the underbelly of that. All right. So, and remember something, I told you, and I'm telling everybody on the line today, every delay is not a frustration to you. Okay. Sometimes those delays mean what they are. Wait and look. Check it out further. Look deeper. Pray harder. Stand longer. Investigate more. Again,
amen.
Wisdom is the principal thing. Let's use our wisdom. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
and God bless you, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Well, I hope you will. You got to let me know how this turns out. You can't open me up to this story and then don't come back and tell me the end of it. I'll be like, how'd that work out?
I sure will do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Ooh, hallelujah. You know, Ashley, it's so funny. I get in these prayer things. I'm like, okay, so am I ever going to hear the end of the story? What happened? You know, it's kind of like, okay, so now how did that resolve itself? Well, how did that turn out? I'm interested, guys. This is not just a weekly exercise for me. I'm interested because I have a commitment to everybody in the kingdom of God coming into their full strength and their full power and their full victory in Jesus Christ. That is what I'm looking for. So I want to know how these things turn out. How about you, Ashley?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just like being frustrated when you watch an episode back-to-back on TV. You know how they run them in the first hour, they show part one, the second is to be continued, but the second hour is not part two. That's so annoying.
And they leave you with this amazing cliffhanger.
Yes. And then 6 months later, you catch it, maybe. But, yeah, so we do want to know so we're not left hanging and all frustrated about did God or didn't God. So that's why we like Raven calling back and the others who have called back. Nikki, Prophet Nikki called back last week to say, here's an update. And they got through. So that is the second half of the victory, is actually calling and getting through. But your next caller, are you ready for your next caller?
I'm set.
All right. This is Angelique from Georgia. Georgia is on the line today. Angelique is on. She is starting her own cleaning business, but does not have income coming in right now. And she's also living with somebody else in this transitional process and needs to also kind of get on her own 2 feet and find her own place. So, Angelique, welcome to the call. You're talking to Dr. Price.
Hello. Hi. How are you, Dr. Price?
I am fine, Angelique. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Thanks for asking.
You got a lot going on there, girl. What's up?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I just moved recently from Chicago to Georgia because I was going through so much in Chicago. I lost, like, everything that I owned. I mean, literally everything. So my friend, she invited me to come and stay with her, and I'm trying to start my own cleaning business. And things is not really going too well at her house now, you know, now that I've traveled all the way down here. So I want to get my own place. I want to start my cleaning business. I got my flyers made. I have my cars made. I'm bonded and insured, but I haven't cleaned no one house up yet. I've been promoting it, and I'm just out here now. So I need prayer really, really bad, like really bad. So, yes.
Yeah, I would think you do because so my last call was really helpful to you, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, praise God.
I figured it might be. I knew it was a lot of you guys on the line today. Listen, the first thing I want to ask you, Angelique, is are you working?
No, I'm not working. I have my certified nursing certificate, and I'm on Georgia's registry now. So I've been putting in applications online, but no one has called yet. So I'm really not having any income coming in. So I'm basically, like, living off her. So you know how that goes. And I don't want to do that no more because I'm very dependent. And I left my kids in Chicago because, I mean, well, they 18, 19, and 23, which my 18 and 19-year-old, they with their dad, you know, because he know I'm going through what I'm going through right now. So, I mean, it's just heavy on my heart because I would love for my kids to be here with me.
Yeah, I would think so. I know that would be difficult for me. Let me just say this, a couple of things I want to say. I'm not only going to pray for your business. Your business, Angelique, is going to take the time it takes to come grow. You know that. So a couple of things you can do in the interim while you're setting up your business. Number one, you can work with somebody else in that business. I mean,
okay.
let's get real. It's starting a business is a lot of fun, but it doesn't take fun for long. So you need to hook up with somebody else. Find a cleaning company in that area since that's what you want to do and get some experience, get some skills working with them. So and then you can get a little piece of income coming in so that you can pay this woman for what she's given. So that's my immediate counsel to you is that, you know you have the nursing thing, but you're obviously done with that. You don't want to do that. But if you're going to start a business, you need to work in that field a little bit before you jump out because you don't know the pitfalls. You don't know the internals of it. You don't know how the inner workings go. So go and work for somebody in that business. And don't just work for one company. Sign up with a few so you can get tips from everyone.
Okay. Yeah.
So now you're getting some on-the-job training and you're getting some tips. And guess what? You're also getting contacts because you don't know anybody in that land.
Right, exactly. Okay. So, yeah, I need to do that. And I was actually online the other day on Indeed.com, and I did that for house sitting. Actually housekeeping. So I'm just waiting for some hits to come back. So I did that. I mean, you know, put it on.
But walk the city. Don't just do it on the internet. Go out there, wherever they say there's a cleaning company. You go, and don't go give them your flyers. Don't even let them know you're trying to start a business, baby, because you're going in undercover. You're going to do some undercover investigation, okay? So don't go there and say, I got a business, too. That's not going to help you, okay? But you want to go and do that and spend about 8 months, and I know you don't want to hear this, but spend about 8 months to a year working this for someone else. You're going to learn the products. You're going to learn the contact. You'll learn some of the vendors. You'll learn how they do it. You'll learn the scheduling, how to attract people. You'll know what folks like. You're going to get baptized into this business you say you want to start.
Okay. That's a plus right there. Yes, okay, definitely.
So now you're good to go. See, if I don't say anything else to you, but God bless you and have good luck, you're all set because you got a plan. See, the issue with God is that which is why we need counsel, because you get a vision, but you still don't get the plan. You can get a prophecy, you still don't get the plan. Need the plan. And your plan is you're gonna get in your car or however way you get around, and you're going to go to all these streets, and you're going to say, I want to do this cleaning, and I've always been interested in doing it. Do not tell them you're going to start your own business. I'm telling you, don't do that. When you're working with them, don't tell them that you're going to start your own business because, see, you are a future competitor. Now, if you decide that you're ready, and let's say you build up a great rapport with a particular company, and so you guys, you find your click or whatever, then you're going to start trying to be tutored by them. And so, because you need the mentorship so you can learn a little deeper, get into the inner workings, okay? And so you're going to do that so that when you start your business, you can say, I'm experienced, not just interested. We just want to start a business because we're interested. Now, people don't want to hire the interested. They want to hire the experienced.
Yes, yes. Okay, praise
God. Okay, so
yes.
That's what we're going to do for you, Angelique. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for Angelique. Thank you for her vision. Thank you, Lord, for her calling and her destiny. Now I'm asking that you to anoint her with the wisdom that she needs to do what she has to do. Give her opportunities to learn and grow. God, take over her development right now, Lord Jesus, and begin to lead her and walk her into the places where she can get groomed and trained, where she can deal with all of the personalities, she can get accustomed to all the likes and dislikes, because, God, she doesn't need to quit her own business when she gets it started. So let her go in with a full understanding of what it is that she's undertaking and what it is that she's got faith in her as she goes forward. God, I thank you for giving her connection. I open you up, my beloved, to divine connection and to the tutelage of the Holy Ghost by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be so, let it be done now. And amen, God. Have at it.
Amen.
Listen, now,
amen.
Okay. Now, you know you got to call me and tell me what you did, because, see, here you're a stranger in the land. You know, it introduced me to the fact that you got to do all of these amazing things. So I want you to let me know from time to time. You can get on my Facebook. You can get on my we have an email, whatever you do. But keep me posted on how this is going, because I want to see you make this plan happen.
Okay. And one more thing, Pastor. I want my own place. Like, I need it, like, really, really bad. So can you pray on that for me? So,
well, I will pray on it, but you realize that you got to get money.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
And I have my brother's going to be my roommate, so, we'll do good with that, as far as the income. I don't have to really, really be struggling on how I'm going to pay it all by myself. So, yeah.
Now,
really
is your brother with
place.
You?
Yes,
is your brother
down.
With you?
Yes, he's down here. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he moved with you?
No, he didn't move with me. No, he moved with one of his friends. So, well, he's been down here for a while, so him and his friends stay together, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, we'll say that for the other call. Okay, let me pray this through, because does he have money?
Yes, 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 he does.
He has money and he has a job. All right, I just want to make sure that I know what we're talking about, because if I'm praying for two people with no money, then I'm talking about y'all getting into a shelter. But if I'm praying about people with money, then that's
okay.
Something. You understand that you got to have pointed prayers. I can't just jump out there and say any old kind of thing. So if he has money, then I'm asking God to order his steps. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for being the Lord of the land. You know, Lord means landlord, landowner. So we thank you, Father, that you are the Lord of the land. We are asking that you would cause them to find the place that is suited for them, one that you have already picked out and marked for them, Father, before the foundation of the world. And, Lord, I'm asking that you would cause them to get in it with ease, and let it be in the ideal location, and let it be at the right price. You know their economy. You know their monetary limits. I'm asking that you would cause it to fall in place. I remove every impediment and every hindrance, horrible, out of your way, and cause you to be settled in that new land. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so
all
much,
right?
Pastor. Yes. Yes.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you. God bless.
Prophet Ashley.
Well, that was good.
Isn't God a sugar?
Yes, yes. I mean, those statement of the hour. People don't want to hire the interested. They want to hire the experienced.
Well, we like the church itself and many Christians, we want to answer our call with fascination instead of proven destination. We're just fascinated about something. That's why we in and out so many things. But when you're working with destiny, you want it to work. You can tell you're moving in destiny. This young woman is moving in destiny because she had an ear to hear. The fascinated doesn't have an ear to hear. They're not interested in hearing. They're interested in appearing and doing and showing up wherever they want to show up. But the one who's moving in destiny always wants to hear the how-to, because they've already resolved that they're going to answer destiny. So she's going to do all right, don't you think? I think she's going to do great.
Oh, yeah, she's going to do great because she got it. She's like, I get it.
Well, we had a great call day today, didn't we?
We did. It was, my goodness, we have covered the gamut on marriage repair to job and settlement and establishment and quite a few things in between. Talked about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. We're going to keep that buy one, get one half off rate from now until May 31st. through the end of May 31st. That's going to be the rate for getting you to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Tonight, again, is Dr. Paula Price Live for our Prophet's Chambers call in the classroom series. It's a new series that we've launched every Thursday night at from 8 to 9 Central Standard Time. Dr. Price will have a webinar up there, but tonight she's going to be live on the call. And so you'll see that information going out today as well. So God bless you all for tuning into our show today, and we will hear you on the call next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Paula Price Show. If you would like to attend one of Dr. Price's upcoming events, book her for your own event, purchase products, or take a ministry assessment, visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com or by phone at 877-419-1299. If you like what you heard today, become a Paula Price Show supporter for just $15 per month. That number again is 877-419-1299 or visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com.